So are you ready for the word this morning in the short moments that I have? I want to encourage every person here this morning before I talk. I want to encourage you. You can't fix yesterday. It's mistakes and it's failures. Or even the bad decisions. You have to let things go. And you have to trust God for new beginnings and correct decisions to bring breakthrough. Because our God is a God of mercy. Our God is a God of a second chance. I want you to know that this morning. Our God is a God who loves you. And that you're not here by accident. He's personal and He wants to know you. He wants to have an intimate walk and relationship with you. He's the Father. He created you, by the way. You're not on this planet to just make or to earn a living and to have a family. God's purpose is that you will know your Creator in heaven. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. There is a God. For certain there's a God. We're not just here on this planet because of random chaos. If you look at this building, it took us years to design it with very smart and intelligent architects who planned it out properly and designed it. I want you to know God designed your life. He planned your future. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, the thoughts He thinks towards you are thoughts of peace, of hope, and a future, a preferred end, a good place. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. So I want you to know your best days are still ahead of you. Do you believe that? Come on, we have to take our eyes off the economy. You have to take your eyes off the world and look to God and thank Him for His promises, because the best days are still ahead of you. Even if it's a statement of faith this morning, God, the Bible says in Romans 4 verse 17, God who quickens the dead and calls things which be not as though they are. Sometimes you have to speak to your mountain and let the mountain move. Amen. Oh, so are you ready this morning? I want to talk to you, and obviously we're talking to the men and the fathers, but it's a message that applies to every person, male or female, this morning. So we're talking this morning about men of strength, men of purpose, men of courage, protectors, men who are strong. And I want to say this, that there is a lie that's been told to the men. There's a lie that you can just go through life. What I've found over the years is that men don't understand who they are. They don't know their Creator and they don't understand how God created them. And this morning I want to, by the help of God's grace, touch on a few areas to help men understand who men are, that we can be effective in our society, effective in our communities, effective in our families and in the marketplace. For men are called to be a force for good, especially fathers. You need to know how God has made you. A lot of men don't always know how God has created them. We're not called to just stumble through life. We're called to understand the purposes that God has for us. So I want you to know, number one, men, you were created by God to be dangerous and to be masculine. Okay. Now I'll define what I mean by dangerous, because I'm not saying you should walk into a place and just hurt people. That's not what I'm saying. But you're created to be dangerous. Good, strong men who make the world a safer place. Those are the men I'm talking about. Those are the dangerous fathers. And I'm talking to men because men, some of you are not a father yet, but you're going to be a father soon. So a harmless man is not needed today. We need more men that are good and that are strong, that are dangerous. We don't need men who just play it safe, who are just predictable. We need dangerous and wild men. If you think Christianity is only for soft men, you're highly mistaken, sir, ma'am. It takes a strong man to stand in this day. It takes a courageous man, a man of guts and strength, to stand for his Maker and to make a difference, to be a reformer. Weak and passive men don't make things safe. They don't make life what it should be. For good to prevail, men must intimidate what is bad. Amen. I joke with my daughters. I say, feel your dad's muscles. Come on, girls. Feel your dad. He's chumming. Why do I have muscles? Because the muscles are here to protect you. Because when Mr. Right wants to come along, they must feel intimidated. That boyfriend who wants to date my girl, he must be scared. If there's a guy who's busy dating your girl, or even a girl dating, they should be afraid of you. Amen. And I say afraid in the sense that a good afraid. Yes, thank you, my vrou. Hulle mag nie kansse vat nie. My children must know that they're safe. That when there's a problem, they run to their father, just like we run to our heavenly father. Amen. We need an example. Amen. Maybe you never had a godly example. We have to, and I'll talk about it in a moment, we have to honor our parents. But one thing that it starts with you today. Forget the past. It starts with you today. God wants you to be a man of strength, a man of valor, a man of courage. Dangerous men have the ability to inflict harm. Bullies don't target those who can fight back. Bullies always prey on the weak. And I want to encourage the men today. I'm not saying if you're a child. I'm talking about if you're old and you're grown up and you are still a target of being bullied. It's time you stood up, sir. It's time you take a stand and understand God has not given you a spirit of fear or anxiety, but God has given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Bullying, rape, which the ladies, by the way, ladies, you had a fantastic women's event yesterday. Thank you to my beautiful wife and the wonderful panelists. It was a wonderful day yesterday. You see, we are accommodating the ladies yesterday, and today we're accommodating the men. Nobody can feel left out. But we are addressing the social ills of our community. Rape, gender-based violence, bullying. These things have two things in common. Number one, there's bad men who carry them out. You know, it's a weak man that hits his wife. You're weak. We have to call you out. It's a weak man that has to always bully and hurt somebody that's weaker than them. So they have two things in common. Number one, bad men who carry them out. And number two, weak men who do nothing to stop them. There should be nothing worse than if there's an evil in the day and people are watching, and how evil it is to turn your face and your cheek and look the other way when people are being hurt. Neither of these two above, and I'll say it again, number one, bad men who carry this out, number two, weak men who do nothing to stop them. Neither of these two can be defined as true godly men. They are not true fathers. They are not true protectors. And I want you to know, if you've been abused by a man, that is not God's heart for you. We're sorry. We apologize on behalf of that. But I want you to know there is mercy and there is healing, and God will restore you and God will replace what the enemy has stolen from your life. But I want you to know that's not the nature of God. The nature of the devil is to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God and Jesus came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. And I'm trying to stir up the mighty men here today, that this society, I can't take charge of Johannesburg or Cape Town or Durban or Bloemfontein, but we can take charge in Kimberley and have the godly men stand up. And it's not just the police's problem. It's not just the government's problem. It's society's problem. It takes a community to raise up a child. It takes a community of brothers and men and fathers that will stand up in the neighborhood and say, we are no longer going to accept this. Say amen if you're a man. Say amen if you're a mother who wants your husband to stand up and to take charge. We need leaders in our community. We don't need passive men who are sitters and watchers and spectators. It's the rugby players in the game that make the scoreboard count and tick. It's not the critic or the spectator that watches the game from the couch. It is the player that makes the difference. God is calling the men to be players in society, engagers. Our city, our community, our church does not need men who are soft. I'm not saying you must go to gym and have muscles like your pastor. No, I'm just joking. But maybe you should. Pasopai borskas vorta hankas. Come on, when last have you done a push-up, my brother? Oh, pastor, I got to put on that suit I wore back in high school. Come on, gents, you need some fashion. Get around, ask your wife to go help you with some more modern stuff. Thank God for the lady, I'll talk about it. But But listen, okay, I've got so much to share. We don't need men who are soft, who play it safe, and who are harmless. You have permission from your pastor today to be dangerous. And I define dangerous, okay? Hear what I'm saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying take out your gun. I'm talking about be present, be alert. Fathers are society's first line of defense against danger. Dangerous to evil, never towards women and children, but dangerous to whatever threatens the vulnerable. It's healthy to have a manly, godly pride. I'm not talking arrogance. I'm talking about you can be comfortable in the way that God made you, a man. Yeah, as a man, you have testosterone. We are simple. I tell the men on a prayer on a Friday morning when I pray with the men, I joke with them, I always say, we as men, we have this nothing box. We can think about nothing. I know, ladies, this is foreign to you. My wife will say, what are you thinking about? I'm like, nothing. Can't be. What are you thinking about? I'm literally thinking about nothing. We have these nothing boxes and we're different. They say men are from Mars and women from Venus. God made us different. We are opposite. You're not wrong. You're not evil that you want to go and fight. You're not evil because you're competitive. You're not evil because you want to win. Okay? God made you like that. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with a little boy at a young age who wants to turn everything into a gun and explode and shoot it. It's the nature to fight and to protect and to fight off evil. Amen. It's okay to have a desire in your heart to be a hero. That's how God made us. It's not evil. Amen. So it's okay. It's good. God made you to be a man. Good to have strength and to be rough and wild and competitive. You know, men bond side by side on a sports field. You want men to connect? Let them go fishing. Let them play sport. Ladies don't connect or bond side by side. They bond opposite. They want to talk, have tea and cake and chat. Our men will do it if we have to, but men really bond side by side. Let's go hunt. Let's go play sport. Let's go do something. Let's go ride bike. Let's go have an adventure. That's how men bond, side by side. So we thank God for our wives who clean us up and help us stay groomed. Thank you, my wife. So that we can fit into society and have perfume and have beard cutters and look all neat. But I want you to know today we celebrate the fathers and the men in our lives for what they bring to our community, what you bring to our city, what you bring to our church, what you bring to our families. You bring strength, you bring protection, you bring provision, you bring safety. So never undervalue your role as a father and what you bring to society. Come on. If you're sitting next to a man today, ladies, please turn to a father or a man or a brother and tell him, never undervalue yourself because I don't. Come on, just turn to a brother. Never undervalue yourself because I don't. Now, if you're sitting next to a brother, tell the brother, hey, never undervalue yourself because I don't undervalue you. You know, our love language, most men, besides physical touch, men's love language is words of affirmation. Affirm your husband. Affirm your dad. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Dad. Amen. So embedded in man's DNA is the need to stand for something, to fight a godly battle. Our physiology is designed with strength and to fight and to push back. Our physique is designed and geared for carrying things. I always joke, I do one trip. When my wife brings the groceries, I see if I can pack everything on one trip. Got 10 bags here, 10 bags on the other hand. I'm a one trip man, because I can. Are you the one guy who takes one little bag? You know, we don't do it anymore now because we sit in these beautiful chairs. But there was a time in the old building where we had to pack chairs often. And you could see the real men. We pack the chairs like this. We see, we have a competition. Who can carry the heaviest chairs? It's like coming like this. Men were created to carry chairs. We thank God the ladies help us. But men are the ones that should carry things. You should carry the burden of the house. You should carry the burden of the finances. You should carry the spiritual burden. Men are carriers. You are like the shock absorbers in the family. The family's going through hell and you're busy bouncing around. The car's bouncing around, but you're keeping the stuff together. You're not falling apart. You are the shock absorber that family needs, that the community needs. Everybody just sees a smooth drive, you bouncing around, you carrying the pressure, and that's okay. God sees you, God will strengthen you. Society needs men who are the suspenders. Amen. What do you call it? A shock absorber. Be the shock absorber in the family. The enemy hits a blow to the family, the husband must take it. The father must take it. Amen. For too long, women have had to protect women because men have abdicated their roles and their responsibilities. G. Michael Off says, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times, and so the cycle continues. Doesn't matter whether we're in hard times or good times, we need men to make sure that we're creating strength. So soft, passive men are destructive because they do nothing to take action against evil. Amen. We need men who will take up their rightful place. We're called to awake the mighty men of war. The Bible says in Joel chapter 3 verse 9, the New Living Translation says, get ready for war. Call out your best warriors. Let all your fighting men advance for attack. Now as the church in 2026, we're not getting ready to go on a physical campaign to kill people physically. But it's a spiritual awakening for men to arise out of their sleep, out of their slumber. Another translation, it says, rouse the mighty men. In other words, wake someone from sleep or from the apathy. As a pastor's job, it's to awake people from apathy, from sin and temptation and addictions and absenceness, if there's such a word. To awake men who have abdicated their roles in society, to awake us and to get back on the wall like a Nehemiah. Get back in your place, take authority again. Don't be the one who's lying down always. Don't always be the one who's crying. Don't always be the one who's sleeping, who's slumbering, who's caught up in television. The world needs you. Amen. Come on, ladies. This is for you as well. The world needs the mighty women who are on fire for God. You know, history has shown us that in wars, the most reviled, the most disrespected soldier is the man who abandons his post out of fear and out of cowardice. There are Goliaths in our day, the Goliaths of poverty, the Goliaths of gender-based violence, the Goliaths of sin and addiction, hating God, loving lovers of pleasure and entertainment above lovers of God and His holiness, and getting people saved and preaching the gospel and making men righteous before God, and having men be the leaders in their homes, being the priest of their house. Those are the Goliaths of our day. Not religion, but just getting men back to a place of righteousness. These are the Goliaths of our day, and we have to awake the mighty men. We have to get men alive. We need men to come and pray with us. Thank you for the one amen there at the back. I'm preaching better than what you're saying, amen. We have to awake the mighty men. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fathers, men, whoever you are, God has not given you a spirit of fear. God has given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Perfect love casts out fear. We need Davids in our generation today. Men who will stare at Goliath, who's bullying, who's intimidating, and run to the battle and say, "Who are you, uncircumcised Philistine? You don't even have a covenant with God. You're not even a spiritual man. You're just flesh and dust. You're just dirt, man. But I have a covenant with God. I'm blood washed." Hallelujah. Today when you take covenant and communion, remind yourself that you have a covenant with God. He's obliged to protect you, to fight for you. You're not in this world alone. You're not on this life by yourself. Yes, you have to take responsibility for your stuff. But you need to know God is with you. Amen. So we need men to be in the rightful place. We need righteous men. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 1 says, "The wicked flee when no one pursues." Now that's a bungbroek. No one is even chasing the guy and he's scared already. That's the wicked. But the Bible says the righteous. Who are the righteous? Those who are blood washed in Christ. Those who have been made right by God. They are in right standing with God. They've repented of their sins, acknowledged that they need a Savior. They're not too arrogant enough and prideful enough to admit, "I'm a sinner, I need a Savior." They can bow their knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. They have a God. They're not the God of their life. They don't serve false gods. They're men who are knitted to Jesus and to His cause. You want to see a godly man? Look at Jesus' example. He didn't just die on a cross. He carried His own cross to His own death. He took His own blood into heaven. And He opened up the way that was shut, that there was a result of sin. What Adam lost, Jesus regained. It took a lot of strength. Talk about sweating drops of blood in Gethsemane when He didn't want to go to the cross. He went to the cross. That's strength. That's a godly man. And we struggle to get out of bed on a Sunday. Come to the Lord's house. Amen. Come on, Jesus is with us. The wicked flee when no one pursues. Hallelujah. But yeah, your promise, men. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Say for your beerman, jy is a leeu. Tell the person next to you, "I am a lion." I told you this morning, I'm going to remind you how God made you. For too long, you've believed the lie. You are not a mouse. You are not a squirrel. You are not a hippopotamus. You are not a crocodile. You are a lion. Yeah, it's a leeu. Yeah, it's a cow. You are a lion. The Bible says, "Do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed." We are lions and we are eagles. Psalm 103 verse 5, "God renews your strength like the eagles." Isaiah 40 verse 3, "Those who wait upon the Lord will soar on wings like eagles." Come on, put the pictures up of the eagles. You know, there's a fable story. There's a story that was being taught for years and years and years. Just keep the picture up. While you're looking at this beautiful picture, just go through all the pictures. I don't know how many we have. Okay, maybe they made a few. But you're an eagle. Ladies, you're an eagle. Gents, you're an eagle. You soar above the storms. You have perfect sight. You have 20/20 sight. Maybe in the natural, your eyes are getting a bit dim and you wear glasses. But your spiritual sight, you still have vision, man. You still go in places. It ain't over. Your vision keeps you alive, gets you up in the morning. Amen. God has given you a vision, a dream. God has birthed and poured out His Spirit upon all flesh. That's why you prophesy. That's why you pray, because you see a city changed. We do not accept that a mine is closed in our region. We accept another more mines and more economy to flow to this region. For God has blessed this land. This is the land of the Lord, where the lions will roar and the eagle will soar, because this is the land of the Lord. We're not going to back up and go and just, okay, well, oh, here we go. No, God is bigger. You're an eagle. There's a story, the fable of the eagle. was brought up with other chickens. The eagle was raised among the chickens. He forgot his true nature. Maybe that's you this morning. I want to remind you, you're actually a lion. You may have been brought up with hyenas, but God made you a lion. You may have been brought up with chickens, but you're an eagle. Eagle, thou art an eagle. You're a child of God. You will soar above the storm. Amen. When an eagle reaches half of its mark, he starts to pluck out his feathers. He goes through almost like a midlife crisis, whatever you want to call it. But he just gains his strength again. Amen. It's not over till God says it's over. Amen. Come on, you're going to be 80, 90, 100 years of age. You're going to, the Bible says, with long life, God will satisfy you. You will bring forth fruit even in your old. Listen, this world needs you, Father. This world needs you, man. It ain't over. You have a voice. It's time you speak up. And you should be a father to other men as well, not just only your kids. Joshua 14, verse 11. Come on, we need the Joshuas and the Calebs. Caleb said, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. He was 45 years of age when they went to spy out the promised land. Him and Joshua, and they came back and they said, yeah, there are battles. Yes, there are challenges. Yes, there's an economy battle. Yes, there's racism. Yes, there's religion. Yes, there's poverty. Yes, there's sin. Yes, the devil is real. But if God is for us, then surely who can be against us? That was their attitude. And God chose Joshua and Caleb. He said, everybody else is going to die in the desert because they allowed their eyes to speak for them. They could not see the beautiful picture that God had for them, that he would be their God and he would help them conquer the promised land. He would go before them, but the 10 spies, they said, we are like grasshoppers in our own. We are like the chickens. We are like the hyenas. We have no identity. Our identity is slavery back in Egypt, but there were two that have a different spirit, a Joshua and a Caleb, and they said, hey, my identity, I know who I am. Eagle, thou art an eagle. I am a child of God. Surely the Lord is in this place. We are well able. And God said, those two are going to go into the promised land. Now, sad for them, they had to wait till that whole generation had to die in the desert. And 40 years later, at 85 years of age, that's why if you're in this church, if you're 85 and younger, you are a young person. Say amen. I know you don't think it, but say it. Say yes, I am. I'm a youth. Caleb said, as yet I am as strong this day, 85, as on that day when I was 45, when Moses sent me into the promised land. Just as my strength was then, so is my strength for war today. Both coming in and going out. Come on. We need some men who are full of faith. Our city needs some Joshuas and Calebs. We don't need chickens. We don't need naysayers. We don't need critics. We don't need spectators. We need men that will stand up and say, we are well able. God is with us. Have a boldness. Go write down your vision on the wall if you haven't written your vision. And don't write a small vision. Write a big vision. I will employ 100 people. Or whatever your vision is. Whatever God has. If God gives you a dream, it will scare you because then you know it's from God. If it's your dream, it's going to be small. The Bible says in the latter days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. They will dream dreams. The old men will see visions. The language of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is visions and dreams. Amen. So we need men who are full of faith, full of God's word. Men who are builders, men who are protectors, men who are warriors, and men who are righteous. Righteous, right standing with God. Men who can actually pray. Not just a religious prayer. Who always just focus on, oh God, forgive me for my sins, forgive me. You have to get beyond your sin now. Oh God, I messed up so badly. Please forgive me. That's a fine prayer, and you'll hear that prayer, but you can't be praying that prayer for 5-10 years. Here, help me, simply, I can all weer droog gemaak. You have to start standing up now and start making righteous decisions and get to a place where you say, Father, thank you. You've given me your word. Thank you, I am forgiven. Thank you, I'm blood washed. Father, thank you, the vision and the promises you've given to me are going to come to pass. Your word says in Mark 11, if I would speak to the mountain would have to obey me. Thank you, Father, that you promised me that the steps of the righteous are ordered. You will lead me to profit. Hallelujah. Father, your word said, if we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a promise, mine man. Those are the fathers that God is raising up in this day. If you want to know what God is doing, he's raising up men of faith who will grab a hold of the promise. Like when your mother taught you how to shower, she said, grab a hold of your soap and wash yourself. Mark yourself, squin, from the top of your head to the soles. You have to take the soap and apply it. You have to take the Bible and apply it to your life. You have to grab hold of God like a Jacob. We don't need Jacobs that are always hot today, cold tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to serve God today. I don't know if I'm going to serve God. No, we need men who are resolute, made up mind. The Bible says a double-minded man, he's unstable in all his ways. Your wife is going to struggle to submit to you. Your wife and your children are going to struggle to follow you because you're double-minded. Does she love me? Does she hate me? Does God love me? Should I be a Christian? Should I be alive today? We don't need men who have lost their identity. You are a lion. You can face that battle. Throw your head back and roar. Praise God. The Bible says, praise Him. He inhabits the praises of His people. You need to get yourself alone with God and lift your hands and just praise Him a bit. Amen. You need to go by yourself, get on your knees and pray because you are righteous and you can shift things. We need men that are not just praying for forgiveness of their sins, but that have been righteous, that are getting off their knees and actually just interceding for the city. Interceding for other families to get saved. Hallelujah. Is this okay? Intercessory is not only for women. Please understand that. Most of the men in the Bible were intercessors. Stop saying, oh, that's my wife's portfolio. She's minister of intercession. We need men that also pray. We need men that will cover their wives and cover their children. Men, walk up to your kids. It doesn't matter how old they are. Fathers, let just say, give me your head. Yeah, Dad, yes. And just put your hand on their head. Father, bless this child of mine. Help them. If they're rebellious, say, Father, we pray out this rebelliousness in them. Just lay hands on them. You're the dad. You in charge. Come on, say it. Say, I'm large and I'm in charge. Because God is with me. He's in charge. So we're just aligning our plans with Him. My time is up. We have to close. Awake the warrior in you. Ephesians chapter 6. This is important. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Honor your father and your mother. God says you must honor your parents. Doesn't matter what they've done to you. Honor is what you are. It says more about you than about them. Honor your parents. Honor them. Which is the first commandment with a promise. Why? Verse 3. That it may be well with you. And you may live long on the earth. Honor your parents for longevity. Another translation says that you may live long in the land, the promised land in which God predestined you to be. Don't be that rebellious generation that cuts themselves off their parents and dishonors their parents. Even if all they gave you was life, you will honor that man, that father, that mother of yours for the rest of your life. That's biblical, that's smart, that's wise. Are you getting this morning? Children, you must honor your parents, honor your father, honor your mother. Verse 4, I want you to see this. I've never seen this before. It said, and you fathers, you dads. Strange how they don't talk about the wives, because I think the wives don't do this quite easily. But saying fathers. So it's a double-edged sword. The children have to honor the parents, but very importantly, as fathers, as dads. Look what it says. Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. In other words, as a dad, you can make a mistake. You can shout at your kids unnecessary. You can provoke them to anger. You can frustrate your children. So as much as what they have a responsibility to honor you, you also, as a father, you have a responsibility not to intentionally frustrate them or provoke them to anger. Which means you can apologize, like I have. Not all the time, but there's been a time where I had to tell my kids, listen, Dad was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I provoked you to anger. I gave them an unexpected, unachievable expectation. And I spoke wrong with them. That's a true father. He takes the Bible and he applies the soap in his life. Are you receiving something here today? So we need men who are strong. Remember, the same fist that can strike can now be the hand that protects. The very tongue that in the past would swear, break down and tear down and cuss and curse can now equally be used because of the righteousness that Christ puts in our heart. That very mouth can now be used to speak words of life, affirmation, and encouragement. You can speak faith, words that heal and build up and uplift and motivate and move people into the right direction that God has for them. For a man's mouth that has now become righteous can become a weapon in the hand of the Lord to preach the gospel, to witness about God's love and His mercy. So in closing, fathers and men, I want to encourage us all to keep being the man, like history has in the past recalled, that rise up to the challenge. The father, the man who puts his life on the line to defend other people, to save other people. You know, be the fireman that will run into the fire and rescue people from the fiery pits of hell, from destruction. Be the man that will run into the fire, not away from the fire. We have too many people that run from the fire. Let us be men who are selfish, who are not selfish, who can be the hero of their day. Be the dad who tells his kids he loves them and he's present, who plays with them, who hugs them tightly. Let them feel covered and protected. Affirm your daughters, affirm your sons, and tell your daughters they are beautiful. Tell your wife you love her and that you won't walk out on her. Don't leave them naked and vulnerable. You can be the man that has a rich heritage of heroism. You are an eagle, you are a lion. Reclaim your leadership, reclaim your voice, reclaim your heroism if you've lost it, because of our God, who is a God of strength and a God of honor. Amen. Have you received the word today? Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for all the fathers. Young men, you are going to be a father one day. You're going to be a great father, because you're going to see examples in this church of good fathers. The Bible says, Romans 1 verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed, not embarrassed about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed of what Jesus died publicly. Naked, abused, whipped, chained, nailed to the cross. He did it publicly because he wasn't ashamed for you and for me. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Salvation means being saved physically, mentally, and spiritually. We have a world that needs saving. I just want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody moving, please. As we close the service, quite an important time
time of reflection where we take stock of our lives as fathers, as men, as women, as girls, boys, people in the Father's house, that God made us. God created us. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I have to believe that Jesus died on the cross. How do I get saved? You have to believe in Jesus. Is it that simple? Yes, it's that simple. You have to believe. Believe that He came from heaven. He left His deity, His throne. He left heaven. And He came to this earth because He saw man in man's condition. That's why bad things happen to good people, because of sin. There is a devil. There is a heaven. And there is a hell. And Jesus never left us. He never abandoned us. And He died quite a suffering, quite a brutal death. But He did it because He wanted to save us. And the Bible says very simple. This is the gospel. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Son of God, He didn't just die like all the other false religions. He's the only one that was resurrected on the third day. And He wasn't just raised on this earth. He went and He ascended into heaven. And He opened up and He made a way. What Adam lost in the garden because of sin, Jesus regained for us. That we all can have a personal relationship with God. And all we have to do is believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth. So you're sitting here today, there's a stirring in your heart. You've never heard the gospel. Well, today, sir, ma'am, you're hearing the gospel that God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And God always brings people across our path to help us. Some are ashamed. Some are not ashamed. Some are loud. Some are quiet. But one thing about our God is He loves us and He means business with us. And it cost Him a lot. Cost Him dearly to send His only son. Imagine sending your only child to die on a cross, and worst of all, people are ungrateful. People don't even receive Him. The Bible says He came to His own and even His own rejected Him. That's what the Bible says. But as many as received Him as the true Son of God, to them He gave them power to become children of God. You're sitting here today, you say, I don't know if I'm a child of God, Brian. You can leave this place knowing that you belong to God. So while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody moving around, this is not to embarrass you, but believers and Christians praying and interceding, the righteous knocking on heaven's door, praying for the lost. If that is you, then I want to pray with you, please. I want to lead you in a simple, very basic prayer that I prayed 27 years ago. And I called myself a Christian, I was religious, but I didn't know God until I prayed a prayer. And I want to pray that prayer with you today. If that is you, please, boldly and unashamedly, forget the person next to you now. This is between you and God in your Father's house on Father's Day. Please, won't you indicate to me right there where you sit? Just raise up your hand and say, Brian, will you please pray for me? Please, you can just slip it up now. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Donkey. Thank you for those hands. While those heads are bowed and eyes are closed, thank you. On my right-hand side, thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. God bless you. Right in the back, thank you. I see those hands. Donkey, what about you in the middle, here on my left? There's a stirring in your heart. Jesus is knocking this morning at the door of your heart. Might not make sense with the natural, but and everything in your head and your brain, you're trying to analyze it, but your heart is saying, this is truth. God says, choose life today. Thank you. Allow me to pray with you one last time. You haven't made that decision. This is not to manipulate or to force you, because God does give us a free choice. We are free to choose, but please understand, we are never free from the consequences of our choices. We should never reject grace. We should never reject God's forgiveness. This is the season of grace. His mercies are new today. So receive it today. Come on, thank you. Won't you please raise your hands? Those of you, thank you. God bless you. Right across this place, thank you, thank you. Many hands have been raised. Thank you. You can all put your hands down. Family, won't you look at me, please? We're going to close the service. We're going to sing a beautiful song in a moment. And then we'll take communion at the end. But we have to first deal with very important business. While I was praying, many of you raised your hands. Maybe you didn't raise your hands, but you know you should have raised your hands. What must I do now? What must you do? You mustn't be ashamed. Don't be scared. Don't let the fear of man put you in a box. I want to ask every person, politely, respectfully, please, sir, ma'am, whoever you are today, we're going to wait for you. We're going to stand up in a moment, and all you wonderful people that raised your hands, and those of you that didn't, but you know you should have. This, I'm standing on the altar. It's a place of surrender. It's right here in the front. Why can't I come to you? Well, there's too many of you. I want to ask every person that raised your hand to please allow me the privilege to pray with you. So why can't I come to you? Say, because there's something about denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus. If he could carry his cross, you can carry yourself, your personal belongings, and meet me at the altar. So can we all please stand up as we sing a beautiful song? I want to welcome and let's cheer on all those wonderful people that are making this decision. Thank you. Just come. Just come and meet us. Come and meet all the men in the front here. We're going to wait for you. Please come, come, come. Thank you, there's more of you. Thank you, donkey. There's more of you. Thank you, just come, just come.
For by his blood there is freedom. Call on the name that can set you free. Come to Jesus. There is new life, there is healing.
For hey, maybe you need to turn to your neighbor and say, listen, if you want to go, I'll come with you. Maybe you need to put your arms around the person and say, listen, it may be intimidating. It's not meant to intimidate you, really. Come on, we've all had to do this one time in our lives. Just come, I sense there's more. Come on, there's even ladies here today. You're wrestling. Oh, what will the people think? Listen to your heart today. Just come, just come, just come.
Run to the arms of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for coming out today. What a special day it is. It's Father's Day. I want everybody to place your hand on your heart and say this with me as we join in these wonderful people in the front yet today. Thank you for coming out. What a special day. If you're watching online and you raised your hand and you want to be part of this prayer, join us. Say this with me. Say loud enough that you can hear your own words. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I repent of all my sins, and I acknowledge that I need a Savior to help me with my sin. Thank you for dying on a cross, taking my place, removing sin once and for all. I receive this gift by faith this morning. I believe you are the Son of God, that you came to earth, died on the cross, went to hell, conquered the grave, and on the third day the Father resurrected you. I put my faith and my trust in you all the days of my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I invite you into my life. Intervene, Lord. Take over from this day forward. I belong to you. I'm a child of God. I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.